I'd like to begin our broadcast this morning with a review of Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 20. I'm going to begin there, and we'll read down through to verse 30. Now, we've already been through this in previous broadcasts, but I want you to be, well, up to speed by the time we get to the end of the chapter, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, as I said, we've covered all these verses in previous broadcasts, but before I begin with verse 31, I thought it essential that we go back and get the context freshly in our mind, and then we'll continue. Verse 31, but let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now you've noticed in this passage, starting with verse 20 and on down through the end of the chapter here, there are certain things that he singles out and says, all right, now this is not to be in your life anymore. He doesn't cut you much slack. There are things you can say, well, I was never a thief, and I wasn't much for lying, and we have a tendency to excuse ourselves and try to put ourselves in the best light that we can because, let's face it, image is very important. We want people to think well of us, and so we want the best image forward so people won't think of us as we really are. Now, you will notice here that there has been a change from the old lifestyle to the new. You have seen that you're to put off the old man and to put on the new man. And the behavior that needs to be consistent with this new man, the new nature, the Christ-like nature, is different from that the old lifestyle. You'll notice there's to be a putting away of lying, no more stealing. Anger, yes, but not sin. There are things here that need to be adjusted in the way you think, the way we act after conversion. Unfortunately, sometimes people don't seem to get that message, whether it's because they're not listening or because the preachers aren't preaching it. The essence of the new life is there has been a change. It is not a change in just the way you look at things. It is a change that has been brought about by the active and deliberate intervention of God, as he not only forgives you of your sins, justifies you, but also puts within the heart a new nature, a second nature. This is not something you can drum up on your own. This is not something you can conjure up or manufacture simply because you decide by dint of willpower that you're going to be different. Religion will give you a framework for changing your life within certain parameters, but it cannot change your nature. Christianity can. Christianity in the biblical sense. Now, I'm not talking about organized Christianity as the world would look at it, as being just another major religion, but I'm talking here about the consequence of the act of God on the life, on the heart, on the thinking of the individual who has accepted Christ as Savior. Mark it down. If that change is not evident, if the change has not occurred, then there is no reason to believe that an individual has been converted. Conversion, salvation, getting religion in a biblical sense, I mean, you can use whatever semantics you want to, but if a person knows Jesus Christ, if he has come to know Christ as Savior, there will most definitely be a change. The drinking, the swearing, the womanizing, the lying, the stealing, the worldliness is to be gone, to be put away. Now, as we look at verses 31 and 32 here in Ephesians chapter 4, we get down into an area where, quite frankly, it's intimate. It is very touchy, very much on a personal level. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, if we talk about bitterness, we're talking about something here that tends to be subtle in some respects. In other respects, it may be as obvious as a mountain on the horizon. But when you begin to look at your own life, it's difficult sometimes to look at bitterness in a biblical perspective. You say, what do you mean? I mean, if there is bitterness in your life, you have a tendency to justify it. You say, well, of course I'm bitter. There's this, and then there's that, and he said this, and he did this, or she did that, and I don't see why she had to do this. And we justify it. We make excuse for the bitterness because somehow we deserve to be able, we are right to be bitter about a thing. Now, as long as that's your attitude, you're going to have a dickens of a time trying to get rid of it. You'll notice he says, let all bitterness be put away. But it's not just bitterness. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Yeah, we're talking about, you want a nice word, a cacophony of, what do you mean, a chaos of noise, a chaotic confusion brought about by so many different things calling for your attention being divided in so many different directions. If you go into into an area where there's an open market, a bazaar kind of a shopping place. There's a lot of noise, especially if you've been overseas and had the occasion to go shopping in some of the open-air markets. There is just so much racket going on, clamor. Sometimes perhaps you've watched a news conference. Maybe the president will make a speech, make a statement, and then he'll open it up for questioning. And if you have ever seen it, it's like a feeding frenzy with a bunch of sharks as the media reporters begin to all call or clamor for attention. It's a desire. It's a demand. Hey, look at here. I want to talk. I want you to answer my question. Clamor. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, going back and taking these things in order, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Now remember back in verse 26, it said, be ye angry and sin not. He points out the fact that there are some situations, there are some incidences that are going to evoke the emotion of anger, and perhaps rightfully so. To see somebody who is supposed to be a religious figure, attack the veracity of the Word of God, the authority of the Scripture, for somehow to have somebody imply something derogatory about the morality of our Savior. These things rightfully call forth an angry response. But how you give vent to that response, the anger may be there, but how you express that anger can cross the line into an area of sin. He says, be ye angry and sin not. Now you say, no, wait a minute. If it says in verse 26 to be angry, and then down in verse 31 he says, put it away, isn't that a contradiction? No, it's not. You put it away in the sense that you don't let anger be one of those characteristics that mark you. It's not something that is, well, when somebody thinks of you, oh yeah, he's always mad. No, you don't want that. He says, put it away. There's a time, there's a place for it, but move on. You don't stay there. Wrath, the same. Wrath is more settled in its expression. Anger can come and go. It can be a flash in the pan, as it were. It can be, shoop, and there it is. You're angry. But wrath is anger that has matured. It is something that has been nurtured. It's gotten bigger. It's gotten more determined. It is a heavier kind of version of anger, if you will. He says, let it pass. Put it away from you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Evil speaking? Did you ever notice there's some people that can't talk about anyone else without there being a little barb in it? They've got to cut them some way. Oh, yeah, you're a fine person if you, you know, can stand that sort of... You see what I mean? There's always a negative buried in it somewhere, and sometimes not buried, sometimes it's right on the surface, and it doesn't take any imagination, or you don't have to work too hard to interpret what's being said. Now he says, put it away. Put it away. With all malice. Yeah. That desire to injure, the desire to get even. Sometimes malice can be closely associated with revenge. It can be connected with bitterness and anger. But malice, the desire, I want to hurt you. I'm not only mad, I want to get back at you. I want to hurt you like you've hurt me, that kind of thing. Very closely sometimes aligned with revenge and vengeance, but it is that the desire to cause injury. He says, put that away from you. Notice it's personal. Obviously, these things ought not to be in a church, whether it's in a worship service or a praise service or a business meeting. Put it away. It's not to be there. It's not just for a church, but also for the individual. Put it away from you. Verse 32. I really don't think we're going to have time to finish the chapter today. I just glanced at the clock and we're on the downsweep here. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Notice the balance. On the one hand, the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the clamor, that's to be put away. That's not to be any part of your life. On the other hand, he gives you an alternative. Kindness, being tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, I figure tomorrow we'll come back to this and we'll start with verse 32, and then we'll go on into chapter 5. In the meantime, stay in the Word and make your plans to join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says.